Hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalms chapter number 48, verse number 1. Great is the Lord.
Yes.
Woo! I said, great is the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody help me say that when I say it again. Great is the Lord. I can't explain it to you. I think the devil's a little bit hard. Woo! The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Woo! He's beautiful for a situation. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, to have the opportunity, Lord, to be at Bethany again. Hallelujah for this wonderful church, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would use me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a positive, make a difference, Lord. Move at our altars tonight, Lord. Lord, for this service is not just about the singing or the preaching, but we're trying to work our way to an altar call, time with you. Oh, God, move in our altars tonight, I plead. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I apologize for my wife and son not being here. When we first started coming around here, I had a wife and two sons and a daughter that came with us. And my oldest son and daughter now, they are both married and have blessed me with the four best grandkids in the world. If you know I'm telling you the truth, say amen. Not very many people. Oh, I'm so proud of my four grandkids. And that this week is our free Pentecostal youth camp there in Greater Cincinnati. And it actually starts, what they do is they start Sunday night for anybody that wants to come. And so my wife and all three of our kids, Dakota, of course, is still at home, 15 years old. And Caleb and Chelsea and their youngins are all there being a big part of the youth camp and working and all that stuff. So I'm very thankful for them. And as much as I miss them and as great as I need them and all of that, in another way, I'm glad they're there. I'm glad they're there. I'm glad that they're working for God, and I'm so thankful. Well, the Bible says that he is beautiful for situation. Well, there's a whole lot of situations that me and you get ourselves into. Did I say get ourselves into? Because I'm probably preaching to some folks that's got a lot of the same faults I got. I've talked way too quick, way too many times. Come on here now. I depended upon my own wisdom when I should have took a day to fast about that. I should have took some time to pray about that. But being the one that knows so much, or at least I think I do, my wife said to me the other day, you'll like this. She said, Doug, you think you're always right. Well, yeah. Said, don't we all? If I didn't think I was right, I'd think something else. Amen? So, yeah, I do think I'm always right. But anyhow, you know, with all the situations that me and you get ourselves into, oh, but that's not what I'm preaching about. There's a lot of situations that we don't get ourselves into by our own foolishness. Oh, this life is full of situations. And that's what the psalmist David, you know his story as well as I do. That little boy with the harp and watching the sheep. And all the situation that life put him into with King Saul. And he's writing to us that God is beautiful for our situation. I don't know the situation you're in, but I know that God is beautiful for just that situation. I don't know if you all ever knew or knew of a fellow named Brother M.A. Wood. He would have been Brother Larry Wood's grandfather. I don't know if y'all ever knew of him. But Brother M.A. Wood in the World War was there as a Navyman And there was a time that the German U-boats surrounded the ship that he was on. And when the German U-boats surrounded that ship, they knew they were in trouble. And so the, what do they call that? The captain of the ship got on the loudspeaker, Brother Larry said, and he called and said, "Is there anybody on the ship? If you know how to pray, please come pray with us. We've got to pray. We're in trouble." Oh, Brother M.A. Wood, he knew how to pray. Amen. And so he went there and got down there with the captain of the ship to pray. And oh, they said, you know, that most would just expect a organized, rather dry prayer. Do you know that our Congress has a prayer every day to open up with? Someone comes and reads it and says this prayer, and then it is over. Come on here now. I don't want a prayer like that, but I agree with the pastor. That's better than nothing. They're at least acknowledging the name of Jesus every day at our Capitol building. Amen? And I'm glad for that. I'm thankful to be an American, aren't you? But oh, I wish so bad that we still had leaders like George Washington, who they talked about how that whenever he stood before Congress, that time that he pushed the podium back and he got down on his knees and he cried and shed real tears in front of Congress. Oh, my friend, that's the kind of leaders that I desire. Amen. Men that know how to pray and call out to God. Well, they said that when Brother M.A. Wood got up there with the captain and began to pray, that he cried real tears and he called for the mercy of God. Whenever he got out, that captain of the ship said, "There's not enough German boats in the Atlantic Ocean to sink this ship with praying like that." Woo! I don't know the situation that your ship is in tonight. Come on here now. I don't know the situation that your ship is in. Oh, but I'm here to tell you that if me and you can pray prayers like that, come on now. Oh, the captain of the ship that we're on may not be right there hearing us like M.A. Woods was. Oh, but the captain of the old gospel ship, he's hearing us. Amen. And I have come to tell you, with praying like that, with tears in your altar, this altar that we've sanctified and set apart in the church house, the altar in your bathroom, next to your bed, in your vehicle, wherever, next to your machine, in your barn, on your tractor, I don't know where you pray at, but wherever you have an altar at, oh, with praying like that, there isn't enough devils in the state of Oklahoma to sink your ship. Come on now, because Jesus, he is beautiful for your situation. Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. The Apostle Paul, my, we could preach all day. We could not just preach 1 week. We could preach several weeks about all that Apostle Paul, that he did for the Lord and all the great things that he accomplished. Amen? My, what a great man. It is with his writings that we have set up our church and our church government and the way that we do so many things amongst the Holiness Church. We learn from Apostle Paul and his writings. Amen? Oh, but my friend, there was that time that he was arrested and on that ship on the water. There was a storm that come by, and you all, being in Oklahoma, know what I'm talking about. You know it's a bad one when they give it a name. Amen? They called the storm Eurocladon, and they thought that all would be lost. Amen? Oh, they thought that there would be no hope, that all would be lost. Amen? Ah, But it was Apostle Paul that in that situation, while others could only see the waves, while others could only feel the rain, while others could only see the lightning and hear the thunder, oh, thank God that there was somebody on that ship that knows that Jesus knows that our God, He's beautiful for situations just like this. I don't know what kind of situation that your family is in. Is it a marital problem? Is it financial problem? Is it so much stress and so many things coming at your family at the same time? I don't know your situation, but I know who is beautiful for a situation just like this. I don't know how it felt and what the doctor said to you. I don't know what the test showed. Oh, but I know who is beautiful for a situation just like this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Thank God, thank God, thank God. Well, when Apostle Paul prayed, the Bible said some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Everybody made it safe because Jesus is beautiful for a situation just like that. May I remind you, I don't want to bore you, I don't want to, could I just tell you just quickly that I was on my way to make a hospital visit to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, from Jonesboro, where we pastored, in my little Suzuki Samurai. I was going south on Illinois 3 when another little gentleman, police estimated I was going 50 miles an hour. Another gentleman on his cell phone was going 75 miles an hour and trying to read a list. He was a sales rep of making an order for the other lumber store he just left, trying to read that and trying to hold a cell phone and driving 70 to 75 miles an hour on the two-lane state road. There was a semi-truck in front of me, and he went over into the empty trailer of that truck, the big flatbed trailer. When the wheels of that trailer hit his Buick LeSabre, it threw that car back on me right now. There was no time. There was nothing to be done. It was a very, very tragic accident. An elderly mother of our church, Sister Molly Morgan, her son was the head medic, the one in charge of the scene. When he got there, he immediately came to the vehicle and tried to help me, a good man. But understand, he could find no sign of life. The ones that was there, all the other medics and firemen and everything that had come just as quick as they could get there, they said that it was very unusual because his eyes was filled with tears whenever he raised up and pronounced me DOA, dead on arrival. My friend, this is a horrible situation. Come on here now. The police came to the house that we lived in, the parsonage there next to the church. They went to the house, told my wife, and immediately she left to go to the hospital. The men of our church, we were building a new fellowship hall, and the men of our church and some other men was there working on that little building. And you know, we had the two children, Chelsea and Dakota. They were 2 and 4 years old. Well, whenever the police came and told Missy this, she ran out there, and immediately one of my closest friends ever in my life, Brother Carl Woods, who was the deacon of the church, he went running to her. She was crying. He went running to her, and she told him, he said, get in the truck. Come on, we'll get there as quick as we can. Not thinking, the two children, 2 and 4 years old, she left behind. Never crossed her mind because of just such a quick moment of happening. And oh my, when they got her to the hospital, she remembered, wait a minute, the kids. Brother Carl, he turned around and went back to the church as fast as he could. And he said, you know, he said all the men from the church, they jumped off the roof and all that they were doing and went to the hospital as quick as they could too. He said, but when I got there, he said, I've never seen anything quite like that. He said, it was so different from what I expected. He said, there was three construction men that was a long ways from God. He said, you could tell by the way they looked, what they, you know, what they were, how they were. You knew they was a long ways from God. He said, well, let me tell you. He said, when I pulled back into the church, there was those three big rough men out there swinging your two kids on the swing set, laughing and playing with them. Come on. He said, they kind of got aggravated at me when I said, I'm here to get the kids. They said, well, we're all right with them. We're doing okay with them. Leave us alone. He said, yeah, I got to take the kids, though. Jesus is beautiful for situation. Come on now. When that accident happened, my friend, Jesus was there. Now, in one respect, I would say I wish so bad that he would have allowed that gentleman that was in that other car on his cell phone reading his paper to have kept on the right side of the road and missed me, of course. But in another respect, I understand that the Lord knew tonight was going to happen. And he trusted that I would come to Bethany because I know that I'm preaching to somebody that you're in a situation. And I want you to know the Lord knew your situation before it ever started. And he's beautiful for that situation. Come on now, come on now. Everything through all of that time. Oh, I could talk all night long about how one thing after the other, when we look back at it, we see how the Lord had that perfectly planned. Everything worked out just right. Oh, my friend, Jesus is beautiful for situation. While those construction men were swinging my kids in the backyard of the parsonage there, they had me covered up on a gurney up against the wall. The Mr. Heilman of Heilman and Parr Funeral Home there in Jonesboro, you probably met him many times. Is our only funeral home in town. And he was there picking up another body. And the doctor said to him, Mr. Heilman. It might have been Mr. Parr. I might be telling that backwards. It was one of them. It was Heilman and Parr. It was funeral home. But he says to the undertaker, Mr. Heilman, that preacher, that pastor in your town, which is killed in a car accident, you need to hurry and come back and get this body too. And so the undertaker was on his way back now. Those men are pushing my babies. The undertaker was on his way back. And the doctor told me that I was covered up, pushed up against the wall. And he said, my shift was over and I was so thankful to get out of there. He said, I'd been there all night long. I'd been there for 12 hours in that emergency room. And I was so glad to get out of there. He said, as I walked to the door, he said, it was like something spoke to me. Now, this he told me this. He said, then he kind of laughed. He said, no, 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 I shouldn't say that. You know nothing spoke to me. I believe something spoke to him. He said, but it was like I heard something say to me, go over there and check on that preacher one more time. He said, now, sir, I've been a physician for all of these years. I don't remember how many years. He was in his 40s, so I don't know, 15 years maybe, 20. He said, I've been a physician for all these years, and I know it would be very unprofessional after your wife has been notified, the undertaker is on his way back, for the doctor who already signed the death certificate to go over there and make sure you're really dead. He said, that's very unprofessional. He said, I have never done that before, and I have never heard of a physician doing that before. He said, but I can't explain it. It was like I heard something. No, I know I didn't hear something, but it was like I did. Oh, I believe you heard something. Come on here now. He said, and I walked over there, and when I did, he said, I reached under that sheet, and he said, I took you by the hand. And when I took you by the hand, I felt a mighty strong pulse. Woo! Oh, Jesus is beautiful for a situation. Oh, my friend, I can't tell you that immediately. I just got up and went back to the house. I was in the hospital for months. Brother Jimmy was there with my family through most of that time. I was in the hospital for months and laid up for months. And all this was a long period of time. Oh, but I've got good news. Through everything that I went through with, Jesus never left me. Jesus never left my family. We never went hungry. Oh, we never went to bed alone. Oh, Jesus was with us. Every time that I shed tears, which was at least a million and one time, oh, the Spirit of the Lord would always come down and give me a hug and make me feel better. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! I know that we all have people in our lives that we just esteem maybe higher than we should. I don't know, but very highly. And in my life, since I've been a young preacher, was Brother Ben Shaw. You all know who I'm talking about? Does Bethany know who Brother Ben Shaw is from Falk, Arkansas? Do what? Oh, really? Oh, praise the Lord. So you all know Brother Shaw. And to me, in my little mind, and he's just the best. He's just, you know, the most precious man that I just loved him, you know, so much. And I do love him. And so there was a time that I was so depressed. I was laying on that hospital bed that they brought for our living room. And I was laying there next to that big window, Brother Jimmy, laying on that hospital bed. And I was crying and begging God, listen, Lord, my wife, my children, my church, please, just let me die. I don't want to live this way. I was blind. My left side was paralyzed. My mouth was wired shut. I was in pain all over my body. I was just miserable in every way. I couldn't see. I couldn't walk. I couldn't take care of myself in any way. Lord, please. I don't want to live like this. I would rather be dead. I really never dreamed I would be in a situation that I would rather be dead than to be alive. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Oh, somebody, everybody, would you just close your eyes for a moment? Everybody in the building, would you just pray and ask the Lord? Oh, somebody needs the Lord's hand right here. Oh, somebody needs the Lord's hand right here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was laying there, and I was praying, please, God, please, just let me die. I couldn't pray it out loud because my mouth was wired shut. I was miserable in every way. My brain was so scrambled that I don't even know that I said the words right. I don't even know if I knew. I was in very bad shape. But I was begging God, please, just let me die. The telephone rang. My wife came in with the cordless telephone. She said, Doug, This is Brother Ben Shaw. Whoa. Brother Ben Shaw calling me? Wow. She said, I told him you really couldn't talk. Thank you, Jesus. She said, but he told me to come and hold the phone to your ear. But he's got something he needs to tell you. Okay. She put the phone to my ear. And the man of God, the Lord can do it any way he wants to. He chose him because he knew that I had such confidence in him. And Brother Shaw said, Brother Doug, this is Brother Ben. The Lord told me to call you and tell you, you don't need to be depressed because he's going to bring you out of this. He told me to tell you, you're going to preach again. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Friend, I couldn't have been any more depressed. I couldn't have been wanting to die any greater than I wanted to die right there. I mean, I'll tell you a secret that my wife don't know to this day, and I pray that she will never know. I laid there thinking of any way and some way that I could take my own life. I did not want to live. But right on time, Jesus was beautiful for my situation. May I tell you, friend, you don't need to be thinking about how you can take your own life. You don't need to be wishing that you were just dead. Oh, I have been sent here by God tonight to tell you, oh, Jesus is beautiful for your situation. Right now, run to this altar. Come on, if you're here tonight and you're needing him at a time like this, he's beautiful. He'll meet you right here. He'll not turn you away. He'll be glad to see you coming. Come on, come on, come on. Run, 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 run. That's the kind of Jesus that we have. He cares for us. He loves us. He's beautiful for our situation. Pastor, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've got, you know, notes and examples and all those things. But I feel the Holy Ghost right now that somebody needs to pray. Somebody needs to pray. I promise you that right here at this altar, Jesus is waiting for you. Everybody in the building, there ain't nothing wrong with praying at your seat. But thank God we've got these altars. We've got these front pews. I want to beg everybody in the building that's able. If you're physically able, it's worth your walk. Would you come up to the altar right now? Everybody that's able, let's have a good prayer meeting. Oh, let's bring our situation to Jesus. He's beautiful. He's exactly what you need. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, I'm not telling you, my friend, that you don't have troubles. I'm not here to tell you that your problems aren't as bad as you think they are. I'm here to tell you that your God is way bigger than your troubles. I'm here to tell you that your God is way more powerful than your situation, than the things you're facing. And he would love to deliver you. He would love to set you on a higher ground tonight. Oh, we've got room up here to pray. There's room. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, come on. We've got room. We've got room. Come on up to the front. I'm up to the platform if you need to. Oh, we've got room to pray. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Oh, shanda da da talayoko santa. Oh, sir, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves you more than you love yourself. Oh, this is your night to come and pray. This is your night to come and meet Jesus around this altar. Come on, come on, come on. Jesus loves you. He's your answer. He's your answer. Oh, shanda da da talayoko santa. I don't know your situation, but I know that Jesus is beautiful.